Welcome to Off the Record, the podcast series for Maudlin House founder and podcast host extraordinaire of textual healing, Mallory Smart. I'm Jillian Luft, author of Scumbag Summer, which comes out June 20th from House of Lad Press, and I'm going to read an excerpt from a chapter titled The Abyss. The Abyss is a nightclub populated by mall goths, real goths, average outcasts, new metal miscreants, the pale and misanthropic, the queer and queerer, the girls who all look like Louise Brooks if she was strung out on cocaine and ennui. They play new wave, dark wave, electro clash, the music coming out of New York that sounds simultaneously like the city's future and its punk past. I've wanted to go to the Abyss since moving to Orlando. I mentioned this in one of our marathon conversations. You make it happen. You are so skilled at making things happen for us. We're determined not to let anything stand in the way of our good time, not even an imminent tropical storm. You let me out at the mall entrance and say you'll drive around to the parking garage while I find something hot to wear. You say it's your treat and stuff a wad of 20s into my hand. Normally, I would feel uncomfortable with this gesture, but tonight is special. I head to a store geared at slutty professionals and find a tight pencil skirt with random zippers and a top that's sheer and concealing, bands of lace obscuring my nipples. I give the cashier your wad of cash. Our outing is official. It's pouring when I bolt out the back exit toward the parking garage and spot you, your face distorted by the rain pummeling the windshield, cell phone to your ear, a twisty cigarette melting into your bulbous lips, your eyes opaque, jet black, and drooping into your chin, sliding down your neck, curling somewhere between the mouthpiece of the phone and your teeth. I can't tell if you've seen me. I sprint to your truck, slamming the door behind me. Your truck is warm. Your voice is heated. It's her on the phone. I freeze, my bag of going out clothes crinkling in my tense hands. You say we'll talk about it later and close the phone. You flick your cigarette into the storm and pull out of the garage. You say nothing about the phone call on our way to TGI Fridays. You ask me to show you my goodies, and I do, changing into them while we weave through rush hour traffic. You murmur your approval. I don't want to pry about what you said, what she said. Tonight is about us. The air is cool and pleasant outside of TGI Fridays. We order good bourbon, neat, three each, between lackluster bites of Cajun-style pasta. I am drunk, the kind of drunk that feels like being doused in liquid gold, like we're the ninth wonders of the world and every atom, molecule, piece of absolute garbage is alive with our unique essence. And soon you're confiding in me, mentioning a family member who did you wrong, someone who touched you and worse. Vague, but I see it all before me in what you aren't saying. You can't come from receiving head for this reason. I say, if or when you trust me, I'd like to try. I'd like to replace that memory for you. I'm so sorry. Then you admit to being hooked on pain pills you were prescribed a few years ago for a back injury you developed from sleeping in your kids' bunk beds. Does that scare you? No, I'm not fazed. In fact, I'm impressed by your vulnerability. Shows me you're fallible and real. It's a relief. Do you want to stop taking them? Of course, I want to be clean too, for me, but also for you. You've given me a reason now. You're the reason. Our drinks are empty. I feel airy and transparent like the night breeze chilling our untouched clumps of penne. I feel closer to you. Let's get out of here, Groovy. You toss your napkin onto your plate, light up a cig. Let's have us some fucking fun. In the Abyss ladies' room, you pin me against the back of the bathroom stall. We don't waste time. This isn't some slow-mo choreography of drawn-out desire. This is a quick and immediate bang. If the Abyss bathroom has to be the site of our bourbon-fueled quickie, so be it. We want what we want, and we want it now. You laugh softly, like a child, as you hike up my pencil skirt and tug my underwear to one side. You whisper something in my ear about how hot I am and if I know how much I drive you crazy, and I say I do, and my black heels dig into the back of your thighs as you go as deep as you can, and I cling to whatever is within reach to keep me where you need me. And I claw at your shoulders, the smooth and frictionless walls of the stall, the metal shelf where more demure women keep their handbags while they pee, and I clamp my panting mouth into the crook of your neck, but it does nothing to stifle my moans, which are so much louder than my speaking voice, and you tell me to hush, that I have to be quiet now as we both get close, but having you between my legs is when I most want to be heard. And with your hand cupping my mouth, I get distracted and start sucking on your fingers, still wanting to obey you, to please you, knowing all will be forgiven as I whimper like a small woodland creature. The faucet runs, the air dryer whirs. Someone out there is washing away the world's filth, drowning out my little howls of pleasure as you come hard inside of me. You remove your hand from my parted lips and groan into my open mouth, which is ready to receive whatever you can give me. I hope it's everything. On the second floor of the Abyss, we watch the people below, a black current undulating to a jam about cities crumbling to dust. I used to belong to that dark sea, but with you by my side, bumming a clove from some burly wallflower, I don't miss it. I don't feel like joining in on their dark dance of despair. I now have someone I can be alone with. We share the clove, gazing at the large video screen showing four young men, carefully unkempt in vintage jeans and white belts, performing like a minor act from CBGB's heyday. I know who they are. They've been the next big thing in rock since last year. You've never even heard of them. I decide to not let this bother me and suggest we leave. As we pull up to our motel, Love and Rockets So Alive comes on the radio. This song you know by heart. This song you sing with me. This song gets me so hot. You park the truck at a Super 8 and I climb on top of you, tell you not to move. I want to be in charge. I allow you to recline the seat while I frantically unbutton your pants. I want you inside me before the song ends, while Daniel Ash is still on top, while I still am. The ominous doo-doos of the outro are peaking just as we do, simultaneous orgasms under sad streetlights in front of a dumpster behind a drug motel. I tell you to push the seat back further so I can scooch onto the floorboards. I say, "Is this okay? We'll take our time." You say, "Yes, yes," and I take you urgently, intent on replacing your worst memories with this one. It takes time, but I find it. The apex of intimacy that no one else would ever recognize. Thank you, Mal, for having me on. And my song recommendation is obviously So Alive by Love and Rockets from their self-titled album, track 8. In my opinion, this is one of the sexiest songs ever. It's my choice for a song to strip to make out to do anything that feels really wrong. It's fucking hot. Enjoy. Thank you.